Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
Good, Mike. How are you?
Good. Last week, we talked about screening with regard to lung cancer. We're going to move further south, and you've picked, I think, a very interesting article talking about pelvic exams. Again, by way of background, when it comes to routine office gynecology, I think a lot has changed. You know, in terms of collecting information, the history is still vitally important. Things like family history, sexual history, obstetrical history, menstrual history, history of pap smears, history of gynecological problems and prior procedures. Those are all incredibly important that we as primary care doctors or gynecologists talk to our patients about. When we move to the pelvic exam, things become a little bit more complicated. Now, of course, the pelvic exam is indicated in a patient with genital or pelvic symptoms. The problem is that when you look at scholarly groups like the American College of Physicians, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecologists, the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force, they all have a little bit different take on what role the pelvic exam plays in an otherwise healthy non-pregnant women. ACOG, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecologists, not surprisingly, is the most aggressive about suggesting regular exams. ACP and the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force, a little bit more lenient. So you have chosen an article. It was published in JAMA 2017. It begins on page 947, and it answers the question, what are the benefits and harms of performing screening pelvic exams in asymptomatic, non-pregnant adult women? Mark, very interesting question. What do they discover?
Yeah, this is a new topic for the task force. Periodically, the task force, well, every year looks at suggested new topics, and there's kind of a voting process and a prioritization process, and things that have the potential to change practice for which there's maybe sufficient data out there are often added, and this is one of them. So what are the benefits and harms of screening pelvic examinations in asymptomatic, non-pregnant adult women? So that's important. Like you mentioned, somebody who's symptomatic, we're not talking about them. Somebody who's pregnant, we're not talking about them. And if you look at other organizations, as you noted, ACOG is probably the most aggressive. They recommend an external genital exam annually for women 21 and older. They say using a speculum and bimanual exam in asymptomatic non-pregnant women should be a shared decision, so it's not necessarily mandated. ACP and AAFP both recommend against routine screening pelvic exams in this population. So what does the task force say about this? Basically, and the interesting thing too is there have been surveys of obstetricians, internists, and family physicians and asking them, you know, what do you think the value is of the pelvic exam and so forth? And basically, the OB-GYNs just think it's the greatest thing in the world for detecting cancer, for screening for ovarian cancer. The internists are the most skeptical, and the family physicians are close behind in terms of saying, well, it's probably not all that helpful. So the bottom line is that the USPSTF found insufficient evidence to assess the balance of benefits and harms of performing these screening pelvic exams in asymptomatic non-pregnant women. There wasn't any randomized trial evidence. There was nothing looking at the effect on all-cause mortality or disease-specific mortality or morbidity or quality of life. There were no studies that looked at the value of early diagnosis and treating screen-detected women versus asymptomatic screen-detected women for these gynecologic conditions. Basically, really not much evidence out there, so they gave it an I recommendation. The criteria that the task force uses for making a recommendation of A, B, C, or D are quite strict. And so it's not too surprising that the ACP and AAFP came down a little harder against it. They just have different criteria and somewhat different processes. We did a study a while ago, a couple of years ago, that was a systematic review of the bimanual exam as a screening test for ovarian cancer and found that it was only 50% sensitive. It was about 90% specific, but the positive predictive value of an abnormal bimanual exam for cancer, for ovarian cancer, was only about 2%. So very low. Other studies looking at more accurate screening tests like CA125 have failed to find a benefit. So it just makes sense that a less accurate test, which is the bimanual exam, would not lead to any kind of mortality benefit.
Obviously, the ability to detect a pelvic mass varies significantly by the experience of the provider, but also by the anatomy of the patient, right? Some patients, it would be very hard to feel some sort of a mass, and others, it might be relatively easy. I wonder, when you ask practitioners about the value of a pelvic exam in this asymptomatic non-pregnant group, if that varies by the gender of the practitioner.
Yeah, I don't remember from the survey study that was done. I don't think that the sex, it was more a specialty thing than the sex of the practitioner. But you're absolutely right. I mean, I think as people in the U.S. become, you know, on average more obese, it may be more difficult to detect abnormalities. And, you know, it also may be, although we couldn't really figure this out from the data that we looked at, that if you're going to detect something on bimanual exam, it's more likely to be more advanced cancers, larger ones that are easier to detect, but also ones that may be less amenable to treatment. So, you know, with ovarian cancer, you want to obviously find the earlier, you know, stage cancers as well as the later stage cancers. So, I think, you know, this has all become an issue because we're only doing pap smears every 3 to 5 years now. So it begs the question of, do we have to see women for this reason every year? And I would argue we don't.
Right. Right. The other thing from an educational perspective is that some of the technology associated with simulation and pelvic exams has gotten really good. And so, you know, perhaps there's not the excuse anymore that, oh, and I'm not really experienced at picking up a mass. Really, an hour or 90 minutes in a simulation lab with a pelvic model that you can change the mass and feel it and change the location and things can do a huge amount in terms of getting us more proficient at feeling these things.
Yeah, that's a good point. And because that is an issue. I think training programs are looking at this and saying, well, you know, we're still having our, in some cases saying, we're still having our residents do a bimanual on every patient every year for their annual exam because we want them to get that proficiency. But there may be other ways to do that. You're right.
We're having an enormous problem training our male medical students in pelvic exams. Increasingly, females are saying that they don't want a male to do their exam. And that's certainly their right. And, you know, we don't dispute that. Mm-hmm. But at the end of an 8-week clerkship in the third year of medical school, we're left with many medical students who have done, you know, 0 to 1 pelvic exam, which is, you know, doesn't bode well for their ability to do this in the future.
That's right.
Anyways, enough philosophy, Mark. Thanks for your wisdom, and we'll talk next week.
All right. Talk to you then.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.